Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, welcome, everyone, to the start of our Advent season. It's so good to be able to celebrate Advent. Maybe you've been preparing. Anyone have their Christmas tree in their house? Wow, awesome. Christmas lights outside. Yesterday was your perfect opportunity. If you didn't do it yesterday, you're going to be freezing, I think. That's my prediction. We didn't, so we'll be freezing. But it's good to prepare and get ready. And as we prepare our homes and our lives, we also want to make sure we take time to prepare our hearts, to tune in and remember why are we celebrating and what are we celebrating. And Advent is a great opportunity to do that. We join with the generations of people who have celebrated and walked through the season with some type of daily devotional, some type of daily reminder of what God has done. And it's so good. The word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming or arrival. And so Advent is a time when we celebrate the first coming of Christ, but also renew our expectation and remember he's coming again. And so we've titled this series, Waiting for Jesus. And it has a double meaning. We're going to look back at those who waited for Jesus the first time and see that there are many parallels to us today also waiting for Jesus to return. One of the catechisms, the Catholic Catechism, describes Advent so beautifully. I'm just going to read this quote from it. When the Church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present this ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation for the Savior's first coming, the faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming. So that's what we're going to do today, is think about how they waited for Jesus and he came. And we are waiting for Jesus, and he will come again. Just before I hop into talking about hope today, because hope is the traditional first topic of the traditional Advent, I just want to give you a few details about how we're going to be celebrating Advent and how you can follow along with us. We're going to be following a Bible reading plan in the YouVersion app. It's by the Bible Project, and it's called Advent Reflections. So if you have the YouVersion app, you can search that. You can look up Advent Reflections by the Bible Project, and you can follow along day by day with the readings and a few questions. The readings are pretty short, and so it's good to involve your whole family, whoever you can get in there to read with you. And each week studies a topic, hope, peace, love, and joy. At the beginning of each week, you can watch the Bible Project video on that theme in the app. And for every day following that, you can actually go to our website. And on our website, kcf.life/devotionals, you should bookmark that because you're going to go there every day. And there's going to be a video by one of our team who are just sharing for a couple minutes a short video devotional about the topic of the day that follows the reading. So you can read it, you can watch the video, and that's at kcf.life/devotionals. There's also going to be a YouTube playlist. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can find that there. And also, you may have noticed out at the fireplace, we have big cards that have the numbers of each day on them. Last year, we handed these out to families, a little set of little cards that people hung up in their homes. And on the front was the number for that day. And on the back was the phrase of the day and the scripture reading references. And so it was really exciting for the kids especially to remember, we got to turn it around. And you flip the card around and hang it up. You do the reading, do the devotional. And it was just an exciting thing. It built anticipation for the season and remember to keep on track with every day's devotional. So we have those this year as well. That giant set that's over the fireplace will get flipped around every week. It's gonna be so thrilling. And then we also have a set outside on the door at the main doors as you leave today. If you'd like to grab one and take home, you just need, it has the little clothes pins in it. You just need a piece of string and you can hang that up in your home and follow along. All right. Often when we look at come to Christmas time, we often zoom in on the Christmas story and the events that surrounded Jesus' birth. But this series, we're actually going to be zooming out, way, way out, to the big picture, the story of what God is doing. Because I think that helps us to see how they, before Christ, waited for him and how we now put ourselves in that story. Because it is an ancient truth, an ancient path. I love this verse in Jeremiah 6:16. It says, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And so sometimes we have to remember it's good to remember the ancient paths, the time-worn truth of what God is doing. And in order to do that, I personally think it's helpful to have a timeline. You know, if we're going to zoom right out, you got to have the big timeline. And in the spirit of looking at old things, ancient truths, I have not chosen a flashy, high-tech visual aid today for my timeline. I have decided to throw it back, to throw it way back. So please, can you bring out my flannel graph? Yes, you heard me right. I have a flannel graph today. Thank you. Does anyone remember the flannel graph? Oh, good. I'm so glad. Look it. It's beautiful. Here's our timeline right here. Let's just plot a few things on the timeline real quick. Are you here with me today? Okay, I feel like we've been sufficiently warmed up with the laughter, so let's just all relax and enjoy this morning. I am the kids' pastor after all, so I feel like I can get away with it. Okay, great. Well, let's start with creation. Let's plot that out right at the beginning. I've got some fish. Oh, they're upside down. Hold on. I picked a tiger. I just feel like that's cool. Oh, no. This is not good. It's okay. Stars in the sky. Here we go. It happens to everyone with a flannel graph, the falling off. So it's good. There's no water, but there's the fish. Okay, so the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man and woman. Adam and Eve are not represented on this timeline, but I know you know. They were there. And after that, there was the fall of man. We're going to plot that on. I've got the serpent here who deceived Adam and Eve to eat the fruit. There's an apple. You see that? Right there. And that happened, and this was a significant event, obviously, in our big timeline here, that there was the fall of man, and sin and death entered the picture. And so God had a plan for redemption. And I'm going to fill in some of this part here in just a minute, but let's just skip over to some of the major points here. Here, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. The long-awaited Messiah had come. And here he is there. After that, as we know, Jesus lived and died on the cross for us to rescue us. He paid the price and took our sin on himself. But he did not stay dead. They put him in the tomb and, wait for it, the stone was rolled away. You guys are good. Thank you. Then, obviously, somewhere in here, we're here. Somewhere in this place, on the in-between, right? They were on the in-between here from the creation to the coming of the Messiah to save them. But we also are here on the in-between, waiting for the moment when Jesus will return. Let's put him at the end here. I don't know what, I could try to find something more like epic for that, but we don't have anything more epic than that. But that's good. So Jesus was there at the end. He is coming. And so there we go. This is our timeline. Does this make sense? Everyone gets it? Okay, awesome. Today I'm going to talk about hope and how hope fits into this big picture and how we find ourselves hoping. And what do we put our hope in? Because hope is a very, very important, essential element of a healthy human existence, to have hope. We are wired to want to believe that there are better days ahead. We have to believe that there is the best is yet to come. There is more for the future, that there, God has a plan in store where it's better than what we're experiencing today. We don't want to just live with what we are experiencing today. We want better. We want to have hope. And we want to understand that even though there is pain and sorrow now, we need to be able to look ahead to joy and rejoicing and restoration and God completing what he started. We love an underdog story, don't we? I do. It looks like it's over. It looks like there's no way that this person is going to get the end that they want. They're not going to be able to win the championship, or they're not going to, you know, make it to the end. But something happens to turn it all around, and they come through and they are victorious. We love those stories because they give us hope that even in the face of what I'm experiencing now, I believe there is better ahead. I believe there's a possibility that I could win. Hopelessness is very dangerous for our souls because without hope, we lose the will to even live. So I'm going to talk about hope today and where we should put our hope and who we hope in. Bryce and I have just, in June, we embarked on a very major home renovation. So we are very familiar with hope at this point. We hope it will turn out. We hope this thing will fit where we thought it would fit. We hope Costco will take this return. We hope that the person who said they were going to show up is going to show up today. We hope, right? And there's so much hope behind it. And we are caught in that tension of we know what it could be. We know what it could look like, but it's not there yet. And every day for the last 5 months, it is not there yet. We're still not living at home. It is not there yet. And living in that tension is very frustrating sometimes. Living on that roller coaster, sometimes it's looking great and things are getting done. And other times there's a crack in the new tub we bought that's been sitting in the garage. It could have been returned months ago. And now we got to take it back. And now the plumber has to come back. That's a true story, by the way. And that's only one of a lengthy list of mild disappointment or major disappointment, depending which one of us you talk to. Hope. We keep hoping. But I'm so thankful that we have a God who does not change, a God who is sure and secure, a God who has this whole story worked out, and we are part of it, and he holds our lives in his hands. And so we can hope in him. But there are many parallels to my home renovation story and finding hope in God. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. When we started building, we needed to find the right person to help us, or people. We don't just assume that maybe somewhere out of the sky will fall the things we need. We start looking for people, a person. And our hope is found in a person. Our hope is not just found in that the odds will hopefully work out in our favor. Our hope is in the person of God because we trust his character. He has character. He has a nature. He has a will. And we trust that he is good. I'm not going to elaborate so much on this because we just spent the last 6 weeks talking about who God is. He is truth. He is creator. He is holy. He is love. He is just, and he is king. We've talked about that. In the Bible Project video that you'll watch starting tonight, he talks about the words for hope, and there are two main Hebrew words for hope, the first one being yakal, which means to wait for, and the second, kava. And kav, that word, means a cord. And you can feel that tension like a cord being pulled, where you know something is not yet, but it is coming. Kind of like planting a seed and waiting for it to grow. You hope. You know what's supposed to come out of it, and you know and trust that that seed will produce what you intended it to produce and what it's made to produce. The Hebrew people understood that they were waiting for God. Not just waiting for chance. They were waiting on the Lord. It says, David wrote this in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. He says that again, more than watchmen wait for the morning. I can imagine watchmen being very happy when the sun rises at the end of a long night where they are meant to protect their fortress from enemy. They were happy when the sun came out. But I wait more than they wait. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. God's character is revealed throughout Scripture. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is bigger than any of our current circumstances or our current afflictions, our temporary afflictions. He is beyond that. He is the God of this story that we find ourselves in. And from the beginning, he has had a plan for redemption, which is revealed through the person of Jesus and through the person of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We hope God, three in one. And when he says Jesus will return and bring his kingdom to earth, we put our hope in him, doing what he said he would do. Job had an understanding of this. He says in Job, he says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Whoa. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Job understood that his life was in God's hands and God could do with it what he wanted. And he would trust that what God wanted with his life was ultimately good. He refused to curse God, and even in the midst of his pain and agony and suffering, he refused because his hope, that was where his hope was found. So he was not swayed. He was not wavering in that. Where else do I hope? My hope is in God. My hope is in him. So our hope is in a person. These all start with the letter P, by the way, which is very satisfying to me as a speaker. The next thing we hope in is in his plan. Because when we went to do our home renovation, we had to look around for someone to draw up the plans. And we made plans. We didn't just think, oh, just start digging and we'll figure it out. There were plans. We made them. And I wouldn't even say agonized over the plans. If you've met my husband, you understand what I'm talking about. He cares about the details and thinking it all through. And if we're going to make this custom, better be right. So, sadly, we are still human. And it is hard to make plans that are perfect. In fact, it's impossible. As unfortunately we have discovered, even our best laid plans, even our best is not perfect. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. It is for me. Like, no, I could figure it out. I could get it to work. No, sometimes we can't. Because our plans are based on a very limited view of the world that we're living in, and our own world even. Our plans are based on our own perspective and what we see. And even if you get counsel, even if you get other people involved, which is very good, and we definitely did, even still those plans may not work out the way that we thought they would work out. And it's frustrating. But I am so thankful that we have a God with a perfect plan. A perfect plan. And the Bible is a beautiful demonstration of God who is into the details of the plan. And he cares very much about every single person involved in that plan. Have you read the lineages of the generations that God has called and chosen and the way he names them? Have you read about the story about how he told them to build the ark, told them to build the temple? It was very specific, those plans. Very detailed. And we trust our lives in the hands of a God who has a plan. He's not just shooting the breeze. There is a plan here, and we are part of it. And these Israelites, they trusted that God had a plan, and sometimes they didn't really trust that God had a plan because they couldn't see it. But God did have a plan. And they would look back and remind themselves of his perfect plan. I have to constantly remind myself of that. And I have found myself saying that lately. Just because my plans don't turn out doesn't mean God's plans are ruined. In fact, I might still be in the middle of what God's plan is. Maybe this detour I'm experiencing is actually part of God's plan. Maybe the fact that we all forgot about that one detail in my house is actually kind of a good thing. Maybe it's making the way for something better. What if the fact that I missed out on that thing that I had planned to do was part of God's protection to miss it? We have to see that there is someone bigger. Someone beyond my point on the timeline who can see it all beginning to end and has invited me to be in it. Not only does God just, he doesn't just plunk us in his plan, he has given us his Holy Spirit to lean on and rely on, to trust in his plan. God, what are you doing? Help me to see. Help me to see what you're doing, God. Not just what I see. Not just this pain I'm in. Help me to see beyond. Because when I get a heavenly perspective, then I can hope again. It renews my hope. When I look at this and I remember what Jesus did, it renews my hope to see what God's plan is. The next thing is that we hope in his promises, because God makes promises and he has made many promises or covenants with people. You know, when we set out to do this, people gave us quotes for what it would cost or quotes for the time, you know, guesstimates on the timeline. And all of those are just best guesses. They're just best guesses, but it feels a bit like a promise. And I'd like to hold on to it like a promise. Like, you said it was only going to cost this much, but it turns out everyone's right. It takes longer than you think, and it costs more than you wanted to pay. The promises. But God's promises never fail. God's promises are always good, and God's promises always work out. He comes true on every promise. That's what the story is about. That's a big part of what the story is about, that when God said it, it happened. 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 Right here, right in this right here, over 300 or more prophecies fulfilled just in these events through the person of Jesus who fulfilled those promises that were made. I'm getting ahead of myself, but when we look back at these promises, God made a promise to Adam and Eve. After they sinned, God said, what did God say? Yeah, I will crush the head of the serpent. He said that. Right back here, he said that. The serpent would be crushed. And in Jesus, the enemy was defeated. It was fulfilled in Jesus, that promise that God made that those many thousands of years before. In Noah, which guy should I pick? Let's go with this one. I tried to get them all facing the right direction, which is really challenging with flannel graph pieces. You wouldn't know about that unless you've done it, but I've done it. Noah, God promised he would never destroy the earth again with a flood, and he has kept that promise. And not only that, he saved and rescued Noah's family, and God, through Christ, has rescued and saved us from total destruction. He has done that. Through Abraham, God promised Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God promised that, he said, look up into the sky, look at these stars, don't you see them all? Your descendants will outnumber the stars. And Abraham and Sarah laughed because they said, there's no way we're going to have children, we're too old. But listen to this. In Romans chapter 4, it talks about how Abraham hoped against hope because God, who is totally reliable, had given a specific promise. Though the circumstances were such that hope seemed utterly impossible, he nevertheless held on to his hope. And he could do this because it was only on God's promise that he based it. Since that basis was certain and secure, hope founded on it was sure also, irrespective of, indeed in defiance of, human calculations. Let me say that again. Hope was founded on it, was sure also, irrespective of, indeed, in defiance of human calculations. Their calculations were very good. They were saying, there's no way. Sarah is too old for this. And yet, in defiance of their own calculations, God kept his promise. And through Abraham, many nations came from him in his line. And in Christ, we all are adopted into the family of God, his own chosen people. In Christ, it was done. The nations blessed through the line of Abraham and through Jesus himself. This one they look back to. We sang about it this morning. He's still the God who's parting the seas. Moses, God made a promise to Moses, I will be your God and you will be my people. And through Moses, God delivered them from slavery in Egypt and set them free into the promised land that he had promised them. And for generations, the Israelites looked back at this moment to say, see, God did that. And there were times that they strayed from God and they rebelled against God, but they would look back and say, but you have to remember. So many prophets would say, but remember what God did and that he brought us out of slavery. Remember how he parted the sea so we could walk right through it. That's our God. And he has promised us. He has promised to keep us, to lead us, to rescue us. And he has promised a Messiah to come. And when Jesus was born, they rejoiced because the Messiah had come, not to lead them out of Roman rule, but that they would be free from sin and death. The ultimate deliverance, the ultimate redemption to buy us back from the grips of sin and death so that we could have life, eternal life in him. What a promise that God made. That he fulfilled. And then in David, they all have a name, Davidic covenant, Mosaic covenant, Abrahamic covenant. Now I didn't leave enough space. Bad planning. Oh well. Sorry, Jesus. Here. Okay. David was chosen to be king, and God said, through the line of David, I'm going to bring the Savior. And he did. Jesus, son of David. He did. He followed that line through this. The King of Kings. Pastor Nathan just talked about that last week. The King of Kings came through the line of David. And he is the one who's going to come again and establish his kingdom and his rule and his reign. I believe that there's parts of these promises still to come that will be found in the final resurrection, the return of Jesus. It says this in 1 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us, the glory of God. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So we can look back and see God's faithfulness to fulfill every promise. Not only that, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts today as a guarantee that God's promises will be fulfilled. My hope can be as sure and steady as God's faithfulness, unwavering in the midst of hardships. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And the last one is this, hope in God's power. You know, we could have picked some great people with good character and good reputation and a good plan to build our house, people who make wonderful promises. But unless they have the power to make it happen, there's no point. But they did, thankfully, literally have the power tools, the ability, the experience, the capacity, the time, the resources. They had all the things they needed to make it happen. And we are very thankful. God has shown, this is God's power on display. He has shown his power. The ability to paint the rainbow in the sky, to part the Red Sea, to rain down manna from heaven to provide for them, to make the sun stand still, to bring down fortified cities, a virgin birth, angel pronouncements, speaking through dreams, then miracles upon miracles through Jesus. And the greatest of all is this, Jesus raised from the dead. God's power on display to even give life where there was death, something that is impossible for anyone else, but God has the power to finish what he started. He has shown us it is finished. I can finish what I started. I have the power to save. I have the power over sin and death. I hold the keys. I have the victory. And this is the beautiful thing, is that we are now on the winning team. We have been invited in to experience his power, to know that we are winners. That phrase is something that my mom used to say a lot. Many of you know that my mom passed away. It's been 15 years now. But I watched her in her suffering with cancer. I watched her put her hope in the Lord. I watched her put her hope in God. The circumstances did not look good. The outlook was not good, but she put her hope in God, in his plan. She trusted his promises that she would be healed. She trusted his promises until the very, very end of her life on earth. She trusted God's power. She believed, we believed that God could do it. And even in the end, I watched her pass away, but it was a holy moment. And if there is any way to walk through suffering, if there is any way to walk through pain with hope, it is hope in our God. That he holds our lives in his hand. And when we hurt and when we are frustrated because our plans aren't working out, that's not what I wanted to have happen. I would love for her to be here today. But I have hope that God is good. I have hope that God is bigger. I have hope that I find myself here. Live or die, I'm alive. I live. I live. I'm whole. That is the promise that God has made. We belong to him. He won't let us go. He won't let us down. We can look back on his faithfulness. And I look back on God's faithfulness in my life to bring me to the place I am today. And I need to continue to remember it. Continue to remember. And look ahead. Jesus, you are coming again. You have promised and you will be here. This is my hope. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, our forerunner, has entered on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. May we stand firm like an anchor. Have hope as an anchor for our souls this season. In the winds that come to blow us around, in the predictions of the world around us, may we put our hope in the God who has written this story, who is the winner, the victor, and the one who will come again to establish his kingdom here on earth. Would you stand with me as I pray today? God, I pray for those who are experiencing pain and suffering today. We all are in some way. For those who feel heartbroken or abandoned or rejected or feeling like promises are not coming to pass. Thank you, God, for this reminder that you are a faithful God. And I pray that this week, this Christmas season, we would experience your power at work in our lives. We would experience you whispering to our hearts, I will fulfill every promise I have made to you. May we know those promises from your word. May we stand firm on them. I pray right now for every soul in this room that needs an anchor. Thank you, God, for this hope that is found in Jesus, our Savior. May we put our anchor down deep in that truth that you are our Savior, you're our rescuer, our Redeemer. You are good to us and you will never leave. let us go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.